Welcome back to Sexy Marriage Radio. If you're new to the show, we're so glad you found us.
Yeah.
I'm Dr. Corey Allen, alongside my wife, Pam. Each and every week, we have conversations that are aimed to help spice up your life, particularly your married sex life, because we love the idea that married sex is the hotbed for sex. It continually has shown throughout research that longer-term relationships report higher sexual satisfaction and marital satisfaction. Because there's something about going alongside somebody for a long time and getting beyond just an action and actually experiencing an essence and a spirit of each other.
Right.
And a connection with each other. That's what we're trying to help cultivate, because it's not always easy to do. And normal, everyday people, we all have struggles and difficulties and desire issues that come up and conflicts that occur.
Yeah.
And so sometimes having a friend that you can walk alongside, which is what we try to be here, is help frame things that you can have as you approach, as you view, and then as you do. And so if you're new to the show and you want to find out a little bit more about what we've got going on or a handy way to tell some other people about us, check out our starter packs. These are episodes arranged by topic and popularity. You can go to smr.fm/starter. And also, throughout the 12 and a half years Sexy Marriage Radio has been going, The Nation helps chart the path. And the way they do so is they call in with their questions, suggestions, feedback, even guest ideas. We've had guests come and join us because they've been recommended to us via The Nation. And you can call us and leave us a voicemail at 214-702-9565 or email us at feedback@sexymarriageradio.com. And then the other thing that we have coming up here this summer, which we're doing a hard push for because the registration, early bird registration deadline is fast approaching. And that's the Sexy Marriage Radio Getaway for 2024. And it's taking place June 13th through the 15th here just north of the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport.
So you referenced that the deadline's fast approaching. It's April 15th.
April 15th
is the early,
bird registration. So the registration cost will go up $100. And so it's worth getting in now if you've kind of been wondering, well, maybe, but you're kind of leaning. Well, go ahead and get your spot because, one, the deadline can go up, and, two, we could fill up.
Yeah. It's a enjoyable time. It's not like, I mean, I've gone on other different types of retreats, and I come back kind of worn out. This is not, the format is very relaxed.
Right.
You've got some time to sleep in unless you want to do our early morning yoga.
Absolutely.
Couples yoga. And you have your evenings if you want to meet some other people. We have some opportunities to just connect with, you know, some like-minded people. But you don't even have to do that. It could just be some time away. You got some learning time, some enjoyable time. We try and make it, fun as well. And Corey, you've got a good like teaching style throughout it.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. I enjoy it. I appreciate it. It's not one where you're lecturing, right? There's always, hey, raise a hand and what do you have that you're not getting from this? Let's talk about this. Let's communicate. He likes you like to make it interactive.
Well, there's actually a memory I have of one of the times, several years back where we're kind of setting the stage as the concepts we're working through. Throughout the getaway, and there was a audible, oh, by half the room.
Right.
Because
right.
Something clicked with a majority of people. They were like, okay, now I get what you're talking about. And then we pivoted and went off script of what I was thinking we would do. And we went a completely different way for a little bit because it was applicable to the people that were there.
Yeah, it was most beneficial.
Right.
Yeah, that was. And then my favorite is actually the Q&A time.
Oh, yes.
Right. So we ended off with just Q&A and people are building up and have questions and they ask questions throughout the getaway time.
And they can do so anonymously.
You can do it anonymously, but at the end, you know, things and all kinds of things, just open-ended Q&A time.
Yep.
And that is some fun time.
Yeah. And the whole point is if you take some time out with your spouse to spend with us and other spouses, you get the benefit of what everything is aimed towards you and your spouse.
Yeah.
Right. That's the way I try to think about this and want to try to make it come across that it truly is a time for you and your spouse to get away, but be equipped with things that will totally help your marriage in the long run as well. So registration is going on now. smr.fm/getaway is where you can save your spot. And so join us now so that we can see you in June. Coming up today on the regular and free, the full version, because everybody gets the full show today. We're having a guest that's come back. Trip Lanier is one he's been on before. He's host of the New Man podcast. He's written a book called This Book Will Make You Dangerous.
Okay.
He's a life coach that's been doing this for quite a while. I've followed along his journey for a while in the wings, if you will, listening to his episodes, for sure ones that are like, oh, that's a great episode. I'm going to listen to that one.
Yeah.
So, because he's about male development, if you will, but also just people empowerment and development. Mm-hmm. And in this conversation we get to have, we're talking about the concepts of procrastination and resistance, and then how that gets in the way of our life and our relationships.
That's perfect.
Because it's so easy. You know, our joke is, oh yeah, I was going to tell you about that, but I just never got around to it. You know, we're talking about procrastination, and I meant to tell you about procrastination, but I just didn't get to it.
I didn't get to it.
So everybody gets the full show today because the conversation is just that good that it's worth having the whole thing for everybody. And so normally, if you're not a member of the extended content, you would join us at smr.fm/academy. But today, you don't have to go through that step. You get to hear the whole thing. So all that's coming up right after this. This episode's sponsored by BetterHelp. So the question I start with for today, Pam, is if you had an extra hour in your day, and of course it wasn't tax season, what would you do?
Oh, I would cook.
Okay. Perfect. All right. That's a great example, because a lot of us spend a lot of our time or moments wishing we had more time.
Mm.
But then what's interesting is, when I actually had that more time, if it was unlimited, do I really know how I would use it? Because sometimes there's elements of our life where I don't really have a clear picture of what is the most important. What are the things that I value most that are either getting pushed aside because of schedule or getting pushed aside because of today's topic, procrastination and resistance and drifting and uncertainty.
Yeah.
And this is where therapy can come in and be a valuable tool to help you figure out and decipher what is most important.
Mm-hmm.
What are the most important things in my life? And therapy can help you figure out what matters most and then what you can do with it.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those things, my experience and our experience has been with therapy, when there's crisis and things that are really going on that are troublesome, and there's things could totally end, right? Like our marriage could have ended 6 years in.
Mm-hmm.
Without the help of therapy, we would not be where we are today, because it helped for me solidify, these are what I value most.
Yeah.
So how do I live according to it?
Yeah.
And so therapy is a beneficial resource to take advantage of at various aspects of life, if not all the way through life.
Mm-hmm.
Because therapy can help. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and it's suited to fit your schedule. You fill out a questionnaire, you get matched with the therapist. You can switch therapists at no additional charge if what you get matched with initially isn't a good fit. Speak up, find a different one, and keep working, because your health is so worth it. And being proactive about it. Learn to make more time for what is most important to you with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/SMR today and you get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/SMR. It's always a treat to get a chance to have a conversation with Trip Lanier, the New Man podcast. Also, This Book Will Make You Dangerous, which I highly recommend that book as well, Trip. That was a great read. So it's good to see you again, man.
Yeah, good to reconnect with you, Corey. Thanks for having me.
So, Trip, just a chance to kind of catch up in some ways, and also let's dive in, because you do a lot of work on just coaching people to get out of their own way, coaching people to see a framework that does give more energy to the way we attack life.
because I don't, one of the things I love the most about you, Trip, is you're not a guy that's going to sit here and say, hey, we'll do 1, 2, 3, right? It's like, here's the formula. Instead, it's a, no, wait, here's a dynamic. Here's a framework. Here's a lens. Now attack it that way, because that gives, and that resonates with me because that's the way I think as well. But when we talk about just men and women and how everyday issues we have, relationship issues we have, one thread that keeps coming up that I've seen you talk about in the past is the idea of procrastination. And we use the framework as a joke in our household of, yeah, put off till tomorrow what you could do today. That's a great strategy. Right. but what do you keep seeing that makes this topic so cumbersome and troublesome for people that maybe we're not even seeing in a good way?
You know, there's a lot to be learned from procrastination. And I don't like to give, you know, another term for it is resistance. Stephen Pressfield wrote The War of Art, and he talks about resistance in that regard. But it's a pretty nuanced conversation. And for a lot of us, it starts with, I should be doing X, Y, right. and Z. And I'm always curious, well, who is saying you should do X, Y, and Z? And if there's not any self-awareness or agency, autonomy around that, if that's not rooted in values, then I'd kind of like to hear from that procrastination. Maybe I'm going against something deeper than me. Now, if it means I need to brush my teeth, or I need to clean the kitchen, or I need to do the thing to keep the wheels on the track in terms of the basics and the necessity, the chores of life. Yeah,
right.
Just get after it. If there's a dragging or a procrastination to move into a bigger, newer area of our life, or maybe my relationship is the drag and I'm procrastinating about doing something there, I like to draw that out and understand that a bit and at least give voice to the part that has a foot on the brake.
Okay. And I love that framework of the idea of a resistance in the shoulds, because I've heard two different things when it comes to the idea of shoulds. One is love the phrase of why should all over yourself, right? And then the other is the should. This is where I've landed lately. When I use the word should, I'm basically saying something I'm not going to do.
What do you mean by that?
It's kind of a, well, it's like, oh, I should be doing that. And it's almost like I'm giving myself an excuse that I won't go actually do it. But I'm going to live within this tension, like you're describing the resistance. I'm going to live within this dynamic. And so I think that's where your statement of it's a very nuanced discussion absolutely applies.
Yeah. And, you know, the way that I look at it is I like to borrow from Richard Schwartz's IFS model, which is there are tons of parts of us that can be rooted in fears and needing to, you know, attachments and needing to be somebody or needing to be somebody to somebody else, or else this isn't going to work out. So it's just that whole framework of fear, not enough, right. Needing to prove, needing to protect, needing to please. There's so many shoulds that get wrapped up in that. Right. And we may never have taken the time to understand more of the big self, or more of the like kind of if our brain is a boardroom, I like to say, who's sitting at the head of the table. Most of the time, most of the time, our fears are fighting for control. The guy in the morning is like, you know what, tonight I'm not going to eat ice cream. That's it. I'm going to work out today and eat ice cream, and not eat ice cream. And then 4 in the afternoon, I'm going to blow off this. I should go to the gym. I'm not going to go to the gym. I'm just going to go hit the drive-thru on the way home and then you know, sit in front of the couch. So that we're in this constant war with ourselves, and we're trying to battle ourselves, but we don't have a sense of a deeper sense of self. Like, what do I really want in my life? What do I really want for myself? What's an expression of myself? What's trying to live through me and as me? There's a much deeper conversation there. And if my life is just about meeting expectations, or just about covering my butt, or kissing butt, or proving I'm not a jerk, something along those lines, I don't really have connection with that deeper calling or that deeper sense of self or that deeper connection to something that's larger to me than me.
Yeah. So
we just got to do it. I just want to acknowledge we went from you know, doing the dishes to something much bigger. But
yeah. Well, that's kind of that's one of the things I love, man. Is just because it's most of the stuff that we fight about in marriage or fight about within ourselves are not the ways that tomatoes are cut, right? It's something deeper because there's a script. I mean, this is where the language is almost interchangeable, you know, because you can talk about the scripts, you could talk about the narratives, you could talk about the shoulds, you can talk about the parts, you know. And man, there's so much overlap in all of that.
Right.
But, and I, the thing I love about this is what's it really not addressing though, which is the deeper parts, the identity, the agency, the worth or value as I determine it. And, and so when you get a clarity of that, what are the ways you have found that are most effective to get more understanding of self, understanding of that deeper thing?
I think this is where we have to have space in our lives. And for a lot of us, you know, there's, if there's room on the calendar, we're just filling it up with things. Or even if I have 5 minutes, the phone opens up. And so there's not a lot of time for reflection. There's not a lot of time for listening. There's not a lot of time to really check in with self. And so even for those of us that might go to church or some kind of thing that is designed, you know, the context is designed for us to have a bigger sense of self. It still is largely governed about meeting the expectations of others, meeting the expectations of those in my community. But I really don't have a sense of who I am. My relationship with who I am is who do I be so that others don't X me, you know, criticize me, judge me, push me out, whatever those things are. So space is a big concern. Space to have connection with what is larger or bigger or something I'm a part of, not separate from. And just learning to listen and gosh, what is trying to speak through me or what is trying to get my attention and learning to listen, but not give everything over to that, but learning to build a trusting relationship with that where I can be informed by that. And then what happens is that might help me identify that stubborn adolescent in between my ears or that three-year-old that's like, I don't want to do anything. I just want to be on my Xbox or I just want to play or I don't want anybody telling me what to do and realize that's not the person that I want running my marriage. That's not the person I want governing how I treat my body and how my fitness or my business or any of those types of things. I start to recognize like, hey, I get you, little guy. We're going to have some fun. We're going to find some ways for you to be expressive and play, but you don't get to be the one that has this much influence over the direction of these very, very important domains in my life.
Right. You're not the one that's at the head of the table in the boardroom that you're describing. Yeah,
but you're also not cast out. And I think that's what typically happens is we cast out those parts of ourselves. We make them bad. We make them wrong. Ooh, you want that. That's bad, wrong. So get out of here. And that tends to come back and bite us in the butt.
Oh, absolutely. Because that's that classic. The things that I avoid are the things that grow. And the things that I deny are the things that grow the fastest. And so I'm not honoring some aspect. And so do you see it as, because what I'm thinking through with this trip is the shoulds incorporate that, but then also dismiss that part of ourselves.
That's where we could be at war.
That's what I was just about to say. That's the war within us, if you will. Yeah. Right? That
When I do this thing, I'm disgusting. I don't like it when I do this thing. Or I don't like it when I think this thing, or I don't like it when I desire this thing. That's bad or wrong.
Right.
So now I'm going to try and squash it. And then nonetheless, there's still that desire or that impulse, or there's this part of me that I can't find, that I can't be with. And so this becomes our life is don't be that thing. Well, I am this thing. Well, don't be that thing. I am this thing.
Right.
And that does is it takes what's larger than us out of the equation. We can't see anything else. We can't be with anything else.
Okay. And so then we just get caught in, I guess, and almost it feels like in our weird brains, the path of least resistance would be, we'll just be what other people think because that's the less likely going to rock the boat, create waves. I can maybe attain what I'm really hoping.
I think it works for a while for some folks. And a lot of the people that I run into are the ones that are in their 30s, 40s, 50s and realizing I am dead inside.
Right.
I am a shell of a person.
Yeah.
I've disowned my sexuality. I've disowned anything that makes me feel alive. I've disowned, you know, I'm with people. I'm with people a lot, but I still feel isolated. I don't feel seen for who I am. There's a lot of commonality in that where they've prioritized the need to for comfort and safety and belonging, but they haven't really dialed in to answer the question, who am I really? Who am I really? Which is different than who am I? Well, I'm the guy that's a dad and a business owner and this person and that person, and I fit in here. But the who am I really, the part underneath, doesn't get acknowledged.
Right. And what strikes me with that is, man, there's a tremendous fear associated with really asking that question legitimately.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you see as the fear?
Well, I see it as I have created this existence based largely in a system that was paint by numbers to start, right? That I do this, I do this, I jump through that hoop, I do this to be a good boy, to be respecting to this, to, you know, all these kinds of things that are all parameters and structures of me operating in whatever system my family, my community, my culture is.
Right.
And then when I really reach this point of, wait, what if that's not all? What if there's something deeper?
Yeah.
I see the fear is largely, I just boarded a ship by myself and cast off from shore with no land in sight. Right. Mm-hmm. I am heading out into completely uncharted waters, and those waters are likely going to have some danger.
You know, essentially we're talking about self-image here. We create this image of ourselves and we buy into it. This is who I am. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's necessary. It's necessary to be part of a civil society to work through this stuff. It's not bad or wrong.
Right.
But nonetheless, that domestication can come at a cost if we don't reintegrate the parts of us that would make us whole. So we've done all this stuff to be domesticated and to fit in, and like, let's just get rid of these for a while because they're going to upset the system. They're going to rock the boat. We're going to push those aside. But typically that's the thing that we can't be with. Those aspects of us that have been disowned are what would make us more whole and would actually bring that energy and that aliveness back to us. The fear, though, is that if we start to acknowledge those and reintegrate those, they're going to take over. They're going to ruin everything. I'm going to go broke. I'm going to end up alone. Et cetera. It's this catastrophic thinking. But when in actuality, if we have skill and we can be an adult in the process, we can integrate aspects of ourselves and it doesn't have to be disruptive.
Well, let me challenge the word disruptive because it's going to be disruptive.
Yeah.
But it's going to be positive. Maybe it's going to be more positive. Yeah, catastrophic. Yeah, it's going to be positive disruption more than anything, because this is the weird thing that comes to play. And how it's worked out in my life, how it works out in people I do masterminds with. And I'm going to posit I could speak for you in some regards, knowing the intricacies of how you work with men in a lot of ways too, is if deep down kind of at our core as a man, I want to be accepted. I want to be valued. I want to be seen. I want to be loved. I mean, my shadow motivation is I want to be liked. I want to be thought of as funny and thought of as smart. That's the three things. That are, I still have that, man. That can easily wreak some havoc because it becomes this, not from the core of me. It becomes this identity that's pseudo and shallow. And what I found is when I truly found a deeper core that I just started living, rather than me trying to read the perceptions to try to attain it, I started just trying to be it, and lo and behold, I started getting what I was hoping I would actually get, was being seen and being valued because I presented something of value as I saw it.
I think the more that, at least in my experience, those areas that I thought were repulsive and unlovable, the more that I was in an environment where it was okay to be with them, and typically it was around others who could be with them, but I could not. My wife was this way. My men's group was this way. There were aspects of like, yeah, I still love you and you're still acceptable, even though you may feel X, Y, Z or think X, A, B, C about yourself, or you have a desire to do this other thing. And feeling seen and loved there, it
it does a thing. It's like, well, wait, I always thought I would be annihilated here. Right. I always thought like this was where everything scorched earth. If you really knew this about me, you would not love me. You would not accept me. And so being seen there and being loved there helps us heal that, helps us integrate it. And then we get to reclaim that energy. But if we're part of a community that is like colluding in this, which is like, no, we don't do that. We push that stuff down. Then we might find that we're not going to be able to experience that wholeness because we continue to get the message that you're loved as long as you're not these things.
Right. And so that's where the dissonance then really can either be something that squashes us or it's fuel to truly start to own who am I?
Right. Yeah.
And what do I really believe?
Right. And that's tough if we're, you know, in a domain that essentially is afraid of us being more of who answering that question. If we're in a domain that is scared of the answer to that, could be a marriage, could be friendships, could be just our relationship. I've worked with people, their parents have been dead for years and they're still operating within that domain.
Right.
Even though dad and mom are not going to find out. it's like, they're not showing up tomorrow to be like, we're really disappointed that you didn't keep that job. You know, like,
they're not casting dispersions from you when at the holidays with the underhanded comments that we can so easily make to each other.
Yeah. But it's still there. We still live in that world and it goes unexamined. So,
yeah.
But, you know, most of the time, and maybe you find this too, is like when I listen to somebody, I say, well, what would happen? And then what would happen? And then what would happen? We kind of follow it all the way down. And the person is able to hear themselves say what this terrible thing is, whatever the monster in the bed is. A lot of times they're just like, I can't believe I've neutered myself or I've castrated myself. Like, because of this, I'm strong. I'm stronger than that. Like, they get it. Yep. They don't have, somebody doesn't have to tell them that.
Yeah. And that, to me, that's the whole work. In it of that's the power of when somebody truly is empowered as themselves to actually cast out into what is this for me? What will this look like? What could this be? And you're just asking, this is why I love the Ted Lasso framework of how do I get more curious about my own life and what's going on and what it could be rather than it's doomed and destined to only be whatever it was I was taught or modeled or impressed upon by other people.
Yeah. You know, the two words I keep on my desk is just, and this comes around, but accept and forgive. And I'm always listening within myself, always listening with others. Like, where is the edge of my acceptance and forgiveness?
Okay.
There's a line. Everybody's line is a little different, and probably I could be more accepting and forgiving of someone else than I can be of myself. Sometimes there's these distortions, but to me, that's the line of love. Like, my love only goes so far.
Right.
I can only accept you and forgive you up to this point. And then beyond that, it's just like, well, okay, well, what would it take for me to love you and accept you and forgive you? Doesn't mean I don't have to set a boundary if there's a behavior that I need to watch out for. But if I'm going to really listen to this message of love, then watch where I set a boundary and or watch where I put a limitation, say love only goes so far.
Well, let's land there for a little bit, because this is one of those things that love, I think most of the people with the SMR Nation would see a value in, I'm called to love. Right, that there's an element of love that is so profound and deep and meaningful. And yet some people I know will think boundaries don't apply. Right? That love is just, you know, I heard a phrase not too long ago. I think it's from Robert Blythe on the Iron John book, where a boy will offer, he'll turn the other cheek before he's felt the pain of the initial slap. Right. Mm-hmm. And because it's a diminishing, I don't want to be felt. And it's this, you know, it's just this dynamic where we go to extremes of love means I get walked all over or I forgive all the time rather than no, what you're describing here is a nuance within love that is so important to recognize when you, by adding boundaries and teaching how I want to be taught, right?
Well, there's also love of self. So I can love and accept of others, but part of love and acceptance for me means you don't get to come into my house.
Perfect.
And with that behavior, you don't get to be around my family. You don't get access to my wallet, my bank accounts, my car, but I can still have my heart open to you.
Right.
And I can offer, maybe I can offer help or maybe I can offer support, but we're going to build trust here, and trust is earned.
Okay.
So I can, I like to think of love and acceptance kind of like how our solar system works. It's all in balance. You ever see these things like, what would happen if the moon was closer to the earth and everything just goes crazy? Like, just, it's catastrophic, right? It's in this beautiful balance. So I like to ask the questions like, how far away, what distance would somebody have to be so that you could maintain an open heart with them?
Okay.
Because there's safety there. There's a balance there. Does that mean if you have an open heart that they're in your house 24/7, you have to do everything with them? No.
Right.
Right. So there's a balance here, and that's part of this co-creative process in a relationship, which says if I want to be able to maintain an open heart with somebody, it might mean we only see each other at Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And then we might be leaving early so I can maintain that open heart. So I think that maybe that starts to answer the question, is that there's a balance here that a little bit might go a long way with some folks, and maybe I can, a lot more can be worked with. But I like that. What would it take for me to maintain an open heart with this person? And that may rub up against what we think that we should do in a relationship, because relationships are supposed to look a certain way.
That's what comes to my mind, because what was modeled or taught was, this is what a good, dutiful daughter or son does, right? That you don't call out mom's crazy. You don't call out dad's selfishness. You don't, or nosiness or demanding, you know, that's that script. That's the boardroom going on here, right? That's all the different parts of us going, wait, but hold on. Now I got this dissonance, because the message I received loud and clear was, we don't bring that subject up because mom can't handle it, or dad will lose it, or he's so opinionated, there's no other option, right? And the political climate we're in is a great example of, nope, this is one thing I'm not going to discuss with you. Yeah, but I want, you know, because that's that dynamic that's so fascinating to me, to where we go to inordinate lengths to try to control our environment when we can't. But I can control myself within that environment better, which is the more powerful me.
Yeah. And so I might say, I get to, what helps me stay open and loving, and I might not use these words with that person, but I can just feel it. Am I feeling myself contract or not?
Right.
I notice when we go down this road and we start interacting in this way, I want to withdraw or contract, or I want to attack, or I want to change you. I'm the one that's now being the perpetrator. So I feel justified. You're wrong, and I need to be right. Interesting. Okay. No more open heart. Right. So there's a lot of nuance here, but just noticing, what dynamic do I want to take in to this relationship, in this dynamic, into this relationship? And if it's a friendship, it's one thing. If my job is to be a parent, or my job is to be a husband or wife, then those roles are a little different there. But again, the same thing is required. It doesn't mean that we always avoid stuff, but it would be that we're skillful. Hey, we do need to have a conversation about this, the choices you're making and the impact it's having on me and the rest of the house. When can we do that?
Right. Okay. And then let me add, here's what I'm hearing you say, Tripp, because I would add a caveat to it in some regards within this nuance, is sometimes it's not necessarily going to be a conversation. It's going to be just setting out the clarity of, you know what, this is one of those things I feel like I continually get sucked in on, and I don't want to be that. And so therefore it's like, I don't need your buy-in to withhold, to hold my boundary here. Cause that's, I think most people lose the idea of the power of boundaries, because they think, oh, well, people will respect them. And people will honor
them. I think also boundaries means I need to change you, or you need to change.
Right. No, not
good
at
luck.
All.
Yeah. So if I find myself needing the other person to change, what if they never changed? Well, how could I interact with that person if they never, ever changed? That would allow me to be more open-hearted. Maybe we're not in relationship anymore. And I don't know how many marriages or relationships are started from, I think you could be this other person and that's who I'm in love with, versus this is who you are. And so the whole thing is, you're not enough as you are. You're not really lovable as you are. But if you would just be this other person, it would be, it'd be fantastic. It's like, good luck.
Yeah, that's we've had the mantra the last probably year or so with a lot of our shows is the goal becomes dealing with the spouse I've got, not the one I wish I have. And because it's those maps in our head, it's those I wishes, I shoulds, if onlys, all of those things that I've bought in that help make up this ideal person, which, spoiler alert, even if I got the ideal person, it still wouldn't be ideal. just because I'm involved.
Right.
So, you know, that reminds me of one of my very first clients was an older lady that she was on her fifth relationship and fifth marriage. And she was like, I need help. Why do I keep finding bad men? You know, I'm a bad picker. And I just immediately was like, well, maybe it's you, you know, maybe you're the common denominator.
And so.
she kind of took it back real quick. And then she looked at me and goes, I like you. Let's keep going. I'm like, perfect. Because she caught it, right? It's like, wait, I spend so much energy on this external rather than what's being exposed that I need to get better. That's the core of me, you know, this resistance, like we started with this element of this tension. What do I do that honors this better side of it rather than these made up maps that I'm still holding on to that's a tradition that's not serving well anymore?
Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of one of the tells. I don't know if you do this with your people, but if I notice that someone wants to keep talking about somebody else, I notice that they're not taking responsibility for themselves. And so I may challenge them. I say, hey, for the rest of this conversation, I don't want you to mention the other person at all. Let's make this about your choice. You woke up this morning and you chose to be with this person. Again, you made it yesterday. Yeah. You made it the day before. So you continue to be a part of this. And that's usually what they're not willing to be with.
Exactly.
But if we can come back to what they're responsible for and their choices, ultimately that's where we can find that agency that we were talking about.
Right. And then you really start bringing into the two words you're describing of accept and forgive. How is there room for both of you in this? What does life look like? Because I think a lot of times we go to an extreme of the people pleasing continuum because we're trying to get something usually or avoid something. Mm-hmm. But I'm not looking, there's no power there really. It's all on the onus is on other people.
Right.
Rather than I pull it back to, I can still be pleasing and respectful. This is the one that keeps coming up in my mind and in my world too, Trip, is I've landed on, I've got aging parents and my goals is I'm going to stay involved, right? I'm going to involve myself because I want to ensure they have dignity and they know they're cared for, right? As things go along. Unfortunately, they're independent and they're great, but one of the phrases I came across early on in this journey was, I am responsible to my parents, not how they think I am responsible to them.
Hmm. Or responsible how they feel. That feels tough. Like, how do you have them feel that they have dignity or that, you know what I mean? It's like, that's really tough.
Yeah, all I can do is try to help create an environment to make sure some things are being attended to and being watched out for. But I think a lot of times we carry, like if you're talking about the 3-year-old and then the adolescent, those people and parts within us, to me, have this script of you should, right? It's this, because that's what's kind of the hierarchy here of, you should honor mom this way. You should, because I said so, you know, all of those phrases that I carry forward. And so now what flipped it for me was seeing it as no. Me being involved means this as I see it. So if they call and say, why aren't you ever around? I can say, I am around as much as I see I can be, need to be. And we're going to live within this dissonance then.
Right. I mean, essentially, you're talking about moving from the drama triangle where there's a villain, a victim, and a hero.
Yeah.
If this person's unhappy, I'm the bad guy.
Yep.
the only way for I'm responsible for this person being happy, right? And this is right. All co-created. And only 99% of the population is living within this dynamic, okay?
Right.
What I heard you say was like, I'm not responsible for your happiness. My choice is to participate with this in this way. But I also see you as, you mom or dad, as responsible for your well-being and happiness. And I can be a supporter of that. I can contribute yep. to that. But I can't be responsible for that.
Right.
And you know, if you're not aware of that dynamic in the relationship, then we're always in these bargains and we're always in these transactions where it's like, I'm somehow responsible for their happiness, but you're also responsible for mine. And then we're unhappy and then we're blaming the other person and there's nothing I can do about it. Poor me. And ugh, what a terrible, terrible place.
Right? Well, I call that the tyranny of the lowest common denominator.
it's really tough.
Yeah, it just really puts this weight on both, and we don't even recognize it because I think it's coming from goodness, right? But I'm wanting, and well, hold on, no, it's really not because there's no me there, really.
Right, right. And I think it can be really beautiful from an acceptance and forgiveness place, which is you're not happy, and I'm not happy,
yeah.
And nobody here has to be the bad guy.
Yeah.
What happens when we take personal responsibility for our happiness and our own well-being. And then maybe we can be a team on that. Maybe we can support one another on that. Or maybe it's obvious that we're not a very good team anymore and we should move on.
Yeah.
But nobody has to be the bad guy. And I think that then there's a way that we can work on these things together instead of build a case against one another.
Oh, yeah. And that's we spend a whole lot of time sometimes in courtrooms in our own mind and our soul.
With the people we love. The people we love.
Exactly. Yeah, that's that phrase of how I treat strangers and my neighbors so much better than I do the people in my house.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a fascinating world that we all live within and just tangle up even more with how we orient towards it.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Well, man, this has been a treat. How can people find you and your book and the show and just all that you're doing, man?
Yeah, well, they can find out about the work that I do at triplanier.com. And then this book, Will Make You Dangerous, is on Amazon. It's all around the world. You can check that out. And then the New Man podcast is available wherever anybody checks out their podcasts.
Right. And I highly recommend them all because you're one of the ones I regularly am checking in on the show. The book when it first came out. So it's good. It's on my list of handing out to people. So
glad to
collaborate with you. Absolutely, man. Well, thank you so much, man.
And thanks, Corey.
It's great. Great Always connection. A pleasure.
What stands out to me is the fact that I can have the best laid plans and then lose track a little bit. Something else comes up. There's a resistant aspect or force of life, family, expectation, script, history, and I get derailed, and then I'm now procrastinating again with the things that I want to be doing.
Oh, it's so easy to do. That's why one of my words for this year was act, meaning do it now, mm-hmm. right? Because that's an issue that I've got. And obviously we're talking about this topic today, so it affects a lot of people, like maybe all of us.
I think all of us at some time or another will face the fact that trying to live in line with what I want or intend, intention won't carry mm-hmm. the day. Mm-hmm. I gotta really start to refine what do I value most? How do I live according to it? What's getting in my way? I mean, there's a lot of different ways, and I love Tripp's framework of he's a kindred spirit in a lot of ways in the sense that we try to help frame things for people, and that's exactly what he's doing too.
Yeah.
So if we left something undone, we want you to let us know, 214-702-9565. Don't procrastinate. Jump on. Let us know right away. Or feedback at sexymarriageradio.com. Transcripts are available on each of the episode's pages at smr.fm, as well as all the advertisers, deals, and discount codes. You can find them. So please consider supporting those who help support the show. So however you took a little bit of time out to spend it with us this week, thanks, and we'll see you next time.